Get you a pen and paper. Get your Bibles. Follow along with me. Now, remember, we've only got approximately 55 minutes to get this in for you. So we have to compact this. We're going to do two more hours, and we're going to try to cram a four-hour presentation into the time slot that would normally take 10 to 20 hours. So you're going to have to ride a fast horse to stay up with us. And we hope and trust that the Father will anoint you with His Holy Spirit and that He will anoint your eyes especially with eye salve, and He will open your ears to the hearing of truth. It may be to the statement of yourself and your household. Praise Yahweh. And them that will hear you, if they will line up quickly, verse 3, Revelation 17, and He carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Now, I want to really concentrate on the subject of seven heads. I want to give you a different perspective than perhaps you've ever heard in your lifetime about the seven heads that forms the beast power that had 10 horns. And this woman was arrayed in purple, scarlet color, decked with gold, precious stones, pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, mystery. Now that's why we want to get into the mystery. Mystery Babylon the Great. Now, let me go back and give you some underpinning for the reason why they were talking about the whore and the mark of the beast. Revelations 2:22. Behold, I will cast her, this whore, into a bed. Now that means that she's ready to have fornicated sexual intercourse with others that would be drawn to her beauty, to her power, to her outreach, to her glories that she parades around on the earth as a beautiful woman arrayed in scarlet and purple, which is attributed to kinships and inheritance factors and things of this nature. But here Almighty Yahweh is saying, I will cast her into a bed. And them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Now, here is the tribulation of a continuous cycle. Ladies and gentlemen, the day of tribulation is not a distant day, a future setting. Tribulation begins right in the bottom of your heart when you join something that is hypocritical, false. You may deny it. It may look good, sound good. It might present you with opportunities of advancement or enhance your image or give you space to rub shoulders with some of the great people in the world. Oh, but it is literally a trap. Yahweh purposely is sending strong delusions of trials and temptations to those who are tempted to join this great whore in the bedroom. Now, I don't know how I can get any more plainer than that, because they that commit adultery, they go spiritually fornicating, if you will, into this situation. Now, listen to this. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, I'm talking to the church age, because you suffered that woman Jezebel. Now, again, we're typing the Babylonian whore, which is a religious beast system with seven heads. And I'm particularly going to get into some of the most astounding revelations of how to number the beast and identify her with the seat of authority that is sitting upon the back of the beast system that carries the whore. And she's in a bed. And anybody that commits spiritual adultery or fornication, remember, notwithstanding, I have a few things against some of my people. What does it say in the 18th chapter of the book of Revelations, chapter 4, verse 6? Come out of her, my people. Come out of who? Come out of the whorish Babylon beast 5013C system that is designated to be a trap for those who would lust for spiritual reasons, for honor, prestige, and the things that I mentioned, or just to have fellowship. You know, we like big crowds. We go to the biggest church. We don't go to the poorest church in the community. Ladies and gentlemen, I have worship, literally. I started my worship assault. I mean, I assaulted the hill of worship. I mean, I got down on my knees, and I prayed, and I fasted, and I climbed up this mountain, literally, barehanded and barefooted, and unqualified, unworthily seeking the inward power of manifestation of signs and miracles. 30 years I advanced because of the Pentecostal church before I found out that she was in bed with a whore. He said, well, Pastor Buddy, you mean those that are in the Pentecostal? No, I'm just not indicting, because I'm going to indict all denominational systems before I get through with it anyway. So if I make you mad off the bat, then you just might as well get glad, because I'm going to make a lot more mad before I get done tonight with this message, because we're going to indict the whore system and the harlots. That's all the denominational system that got in the bed with a harlot whore that had a corrupt false name, that called herself a prophetess and taught and seduced the servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols and to worship these idols, to actually glorify the material earth of paganism. Oh, my heavens above. I gave her space to repent of fornication, and she repented not. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that there were actually four kingdoms upon the earth that we need to talk about? Let me begin tonight with this. The beast that carries her, it's widely known among leaders of Yahweh's word that the scarlet color beast is a system of religious power, and that all the kings of the earth, these are the rulers, must make overtures or get in a bed with her, if you will. And this system had seven heads, and even in describing the book of Revelations, chapter 17, let me show you the seven-headed beast. Verse 3, the beast was seven heads. Now, I'm going to, that's in verse 3. Now, let me drop down to here. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen. And one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even is he of the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. Now, let me show you something here. Verse 12. And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as of yet. So these are future, and yet they may be now coming to pass. Now, let me give you a name, just throw a name out here, and this is one of the most powerful names on the earth. This is the most recognized person. I'm fixing to give you his name. He is the most powerful. There's none equal. The best known, the best traveled person upon the planet as I speak. And you probably don't even know who I'm talking about. Now, what a mystery how that they can keep things hid, because they assume, if you will, another name. So now let me give you the real name of the person that I'm going to identify here tonight. His name is Carl Joseph Vodawa. Have you ever heard of him? Let me repeat that name. Carl Joseph Vodawa. Actually, he was born May the 18th in the year of 1920. And at the age of 58, he was ordained. I'm sorry. Yeah, he was 58. At the age of 58, he was ordained in 1970, or he was selected, if you will, as the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church. He still reigns today. He's of old age. He's in bad health, but he still reigns. He still breathes. His name is Carl Joseph Vodawa. He was born in Wadawa, Poland. And when he was born, he was Christian de libro solus, in Latin meaning the power of the sun. S-U-N now, not S-O-N. Power of the sun. And that was reputed to be a total eclipse of the sun when he was born on May the 18th, 1920. Now, his name again is Carl Joseph Vodawa, better known as Pope Paul or Pope John Paul. Now, there's a man that was born in 1094, the year 1094. He died in the year of 1148. He was 54 years old, and he's become a noted prophet, if you will, a seer in the Catholic Church. He was a monk, and he prophesied the reigning line of the popes who was to ascend to the throne of popehood and the Holy Roman Catholic Church, who the Catholics claim, the hierarchy of the Church, claims that they have a continuous history from the Apostle Peter to the present day. Now, there's a dispute of a continuation from that time, and we don't believe that's true, but a total of either, they give you two counts because they revised it, or they even took one pope that they had claimed that was a pope in the 9th century. They took him completely out because they found out that history said he didn't even exist. And then they removed 6 more of sainthood. And so then the total has fluctuated between 258 to this present date to 261 popes. Now, when Malachi gave this famous prophecy to one of the popes that was ruling in Rome, he handed him a paper, a document, where he went into trance, and he was given the names of 112 popes that was to succeed the pope in question, because the pope asked him a question. He was in dire straits in some of the provinces where he ruled in the known world of the Roman Empire. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a furious, powerful empire of the Catholic Church. It is Rome. For hundreds of years, among the many Protestant denominations, the Church of Rome has been pointed to as the true identity of the mystery harlot or the mystery whore. Now, the hundreds of years among the Protestant denominations, we could give you authors and writers that have taken their shots at the Roman Catholic Church. But that's what the Bible said they would do. These shall hate the whore. The whore is a religious body called the beast. And we're going to prove tonight that she has a number that is identified with the popes. Remember that we start to find what we've got to do here. Remember that the end line, we're talking about an end line of 261 popes approximately, but we need to only deal with the last 8. So we'd have to start with a seventh, because eighth is not on the scene. We'd have to start with a seventh, and we would go back, and if we do, we'd go back to a very, very interesting numerical sequence that started a interesting subject to think about. Let's start at the time. Now, I'm gonna pick out a particular time, and many of the Protestant Reformation denominational systems know all about the history of when the Pope received a deadly wound and it was healed. That was in 1798, when Napoleon himself deposed the present Pope. At that time, the Holy Roman Catholic Church had world power influence. They could kill you. They could burn you at the stake. They were the one that set the laws and the agendas. There was no government on the earth more powerful than the Holy Roman Catholic Church. And if you've ever read the Fox Book of Martyrs, they have the evidence to prove it. I'm talking about, no wonder John marveled at her beauty, but when he looked in her cup, it was full of the abominations and the filth and the fornication of everything that had been cast into the bed with her. And these harlot churches, which are none other than the denominational system that came out of the frying pan into the fire, that adopted a false name and ran with it without checking the Holy Bible of the Hebrew writings. Because the darkness, the dark ages, someone came in and adulterated the word. Now you say, it's not possible, Pastor Buddy. God Almighty would not permit that. Well, then the Bible is not right then when it says in Christ himself said, to whomsoever will add to these sayings of mine. Ladies and gentlemen, are we so naive to not take the heed and the warning that Christ said, beware of the scribes? You know who scribes are? Those who have actually changed the word of God. Do not add to or do not take from was the warning of Revelations 22. The last book in the Bible, it shuts the last chapter of Revelations 22 with that warning. And chapter 17 of Revelation, it is noted that the papacy after 1798 is the identification chapter of Revelation 17. And I agree with many of the consensus thought that Revelation 17 is the beginning of opening the mystery of the deadly wound that was healed. Because if you notice, after Pope Pius VI, this is the one that Napoleon deposed. This is the first pope that was deposed in the long line of the 260-some-odd popes that have sat on the seat of authority. And ladies and gentlemen, you can't imagine, unless you lived back in the years in the Dark Ages, particularly up into the Protestant Reformation in the late 1500s, when they began to break away through the print press and other Bibles have been written, they began to figure out the great mystery of the whore. But like I say, what they did, they didn't figure it out quite enough, because they became the harlots that left the whoredom of the whore. And what's harlots? Daughters of a whore. What is a whore? Somebody that calls on a false name or has no name or is a bastard and produces bastard sons. You know what bastard sons are? Someone that can't identify their father. If you can't identify your father, you're a bastard and not a son, Paul said. You see what I'm talking about? And so these people that came out of the whore who had a false name, yet retained the name that they came out with and tried to perfect that name and missionary that name around the world. And when they compassed land and sea, they converted the disciples to this great whorish name. They made them twofold more to child hell than they were to begin with. So number one is Pius. Write down, if you're keeping notes, I told you, you're going to have to keep notes, or you're going to have to order these tapes, because this is going to be the greatest outing you've ever had. Pope Pius VI reigned from 1775 and was deposed in 99. But listen, no sooner than had Napoleon deposed him, and he left the throne of the popehood in Rome, and he fled to Switzerland, and he died there in exile. But just as soon, which was in 1800, 1 year later, Pope Pius VII, he was restored to the power, because you know what happened to Napoleon. He met his Waterloo. You see what I mean? See, this is a powerful thing that you go, no general, no army. And I'll get into the leopard power of the beast that is mentioned in the book of Daniel, as opposed to the beast power that was saw by John, and give you the contrasting similarities of each head system, and explain to you that this is Babylon in power. Babylon must be a civil religious power now, developed into, you see, the whore went into perdition, the eighth. So we're going to start with the seventh and go back, and the first of that seven is Pius the Sixth. And then we have Pius the Seventh from 1800 to 1823. And then we have Leo the Twelfth from 1823 to 29. We have Pius the Eighth from 1829 to 1830. We have Gregory 16 from 1831 to 46. And we have Pius the Ninth from 1846 to 1878. We have Leo the 13th from 1878 to 1903. We have Pius the 10th from 1903 to 1914. And we have Benedict the 15th from 1914 to 1922. Now, it's very interesting to note that the next one is Pius the 11th from 1922 to 1939. So you see, they're assuming these names. These are not the names, just like John Paul is not the name of the man that I gave you. His name was Carl Joseph Vodova, born to Jewish parents, and now he's the head of the Catholic Church in Warsaw, near Warsaw, Poland, in that region. So then, Pius the 12th from 1939, he was the ruling pope in World War II, to 1958, by the way. Hitler's never been excommunicated from the Roman Catholic Church. You say, I didn't know he was a Roman Catholic. Well, he was. John doesn't mean to say that Hitler was all that heck. You know, the whole history probably wasn't. I mean, there's things to be considered here, ladies and gentlemen. History is the truth of the history is stranger than fiction. So Pope John the 23rd ruled from 1958 to 1963. Paul the 6th ruled from 1963 to 1978. Now we've got John and Paul. Now notice what happens here. Then we have a John Paul I that ruled for 1 month, from August to September, and died in 1978. A lot of people suspected they didn't let him live for some reason. But he was in good health when he went in. He died a month later. Ladies and gentlemen, popes don't talk. If they go in and they have a change of heart, they never get to talk. You don't talk, because you're under the greatest power machine of the earth. This is the mystery harlot. Now then, notice what happened. Along after John Paul I died in 1978 of September, along came the initiation of John Paul II, the present pope, and he's reigned from 1978 to the year 2004. Now the eighth, we're going to give you a number system here that's very ingeniously put together by the Holy Father. We're going to start at the first, remember these, some names of these popes of Pius, Leo, Gregory, Benedict, John, Paul, John Paul, and these are the common names. There are seven popes here that have the common names, so these names are mentioned twice. So we're just going to use the letter of the name, the numerical value of the names. And so Pius, would be the number count of 78. Leo would be the number count of 91. Gregory, 136. Pope Benedict, 105. John, 231. Paul, 21. John Paul, remember there's two of those, so we'll get their value, was 3. Now that totals, get this now, when you add up the total of those 7, remember the 7 heads that are going to play an important part in history at a future date. That totals 665. Now the 8th would have a total, if the 8th totaled 1, that would be 666, and then the B system would start what is called the end time of the tribulation of 7 years. Now let me show you something very interesting then. If that happens, let's say for instance that the Pope, presently reigning, would die within the next year. Let's say 205, but we have to have another Pope, and he comes to the throne, he would be the 8th. And that would give you 666. Now then, that would be exactly 7 years from the year 2012, which is the end of the Mayan calendar for the age. Now let me show you something real important here. This is one of the most powerful prophecies that the little man that was born in Northern Ireland in the year 1094 and died in 1148, 54 years old, Saint Malachi they call him. He was an Irish monk, and he prophesied that there would be, after this pope, one more pope, and his name would be Peter. And then after that would be the last reigning pope, and his name would be, in Latin, Olivet, which is, in English, olive, suggesting, and then that's the end of the papal reign of the Catholic Church. And then he says, Yahweh will return in the heavens, and that Rome will be destroyed. Does that sound familiar, that there was a great earthquake in that great city that reigned over the kings of the earth, and that city fell? Well, let's go back to the 17th chapter of the book of Revelations, and let me continue reading this for your benefit. Now, the Bible says to pray and to fast and to seek these things that would cause your heart to not fear. Some of the biggest men in the United States in the field of commerce and manufacture, they're afraid of something. Power brokers. They know that there is a power somewhere so organized, so subtle, so watchful, so interlocked, so complete, so pervasive, that they better not speak above their breath when they speak in condemnation of it. This was a quote in 1913 by the President of the United States, Woodrow Wilson. Now, let me repeat that. Some of the biggest men, he was speaking for the United States, but let me change that. Some of the biggest men in the world, in the field of power, commerce, manufacturing, and political arenas, are afraid of something so subtle, so powerful, so organized, so watchful, and so interlocked, so complete, so pervasive, that they had better not speak above their breath when they speak in condemnation of it. What were they speaking about? What was Mr. Wilson speaking about? You'll probably need to know the rest of the story. When Satan said, after showing Yahweh Shua all the kingdoms of the world, in Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, all this I will give it to you if you will therefore worship me, and all this shall be thine. You know what Yahweh Shua said after the temptation? The Bible said he was tempted at all points. He saw the power base. He saw the glory. He saw the prestige and the honor. He was like John. The power base. How we love secret orders. How we love things that we are entrusted with. But don't you know that once that the envious and foolish go to bed with this whore and sell out their integrity, oh my God, the punishment is waiting for these. They shall receive a greater damnation. Oh my, Psalms 73. I was envious of the foolish when I saw them. I saw that their strength was firm. They're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. They stand out with fatness. They have more than a heart could wish. Certainly the devil paints a pretty picture for you to go to bed and sell out your integrity, your spiritual hope, for a piece of bread like Esau, just to get a good name in the community. Ladies and gentlemen, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to Almighty God. And we have people so taken by the plan of Satan that they are cast into the bed, and there they commit these whoredoms. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand. Oh, how beautiful is this religious system of the world called, in a sense, Christianity. Does that mean that all Christians are wrong, Pastor Buddy? No. Many Christians are deceived. Many are struggling to come out. Many want the truth. But remember what the Bible says. They, the priesthood. Oh, my. The cardinals. The priest. The preachers, the evangelists, they stand in the door themselves and will not go in because they love the bed of fornication. They love the money plan, the 501(c) advances and advantages. They don't want to be poor, miserable street people cast to the street, to cry out into the street. All the prophets of old, of whom this world was not worthy, were ragged and destitute and tired and poor and disfellowshipped and dishonored and persecuted. Many of them killed. A lot of them are in prison even today for speaking up against the great whore that has power. And whosoever would not worship them had to receive a mark in their forehead or in their hand. And whosoever did was cast along with the beast and Satan and the false prophet. Those three are the unclean spirits that come out of the mouth of the beast and Satan and the false prophet, along with the seven heads that started an experience in spiritual fornication. Oh, how good it is and how pleasant it is to eat bread in secret places. Oh, my. Oh, I have decked the sheets with anointment, saith the whore of the book of Proverbs. But the wise man shall turn away. Daniel 11:14 said, the robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fail. The robbers of the people. Who is the robbers of the people? What was Woodrow Wilson talking about in 1913 that he was so scared to speak above a whisper, and yet he had enough courage to let it be attributed to his quote, the banking institutions and the power brokers around the world. Did you know that the most favorite place to send their money is not Switzerland bank accounts? Did you know that the most safest place where money can never be traced, where there is not another government on the earth that this government has to answer to, is a little space of land in the center of a little country that sits on seven hills in Europe. And it's like a boot that jagged out into the ocean. This boot is the feet of iron and clay that is described geographically in the days of Daniel when he saw the fourth kingdom rise up. And then he saw it receive a deadly wound in 1798, and that wound was healed. And then after that, they will be seven heads that will be a power base, and the eighth is the son of perdition that will rise up to bring in the end time scenario that we all fear and we wonder about. Ladies and gentlemen, I am at all of the power base of those who know what power is all about. The names of the 12 owners of the Federal Reserve goes on and on and on, just like I gave you the name of the present Pope. And he's wearing another name now, and nobody doesn't know that he was born. Very few people know. They don't make an issue out of it. You never hear his name. Carl Joseph Vodawa, of Jewish blood, born in Poland in 1920, May the 18th, where a solar eclipse of complete sun, this is the Children of the Sun Day law. Names like Rothschild, Goldman, Lehman, Wartburg, Israel Moses, Schiff, Loeb. It goes on and on. It goes on and on. These are the types of people that have amassed the wealth and the gold of the world and became filthy rich. And they are today the scum of the earth. And the heavens, they are looked at as scumbags on the earth. They are looked at and admired as John saw her in a spiritual realm. He marveled and greatly lusted after the woman that looked beautiful, but obviously was a great whore. Revelations chapter 2, verse 22. I will cast those in a bed with her, and they that commit adultery were will have a great tribulation except they repent of their deeds. Were you once in bondage? You say, yes, Pastor Buddy, I was once taken in by this particular religion, and I jumped out of it. Like the Bible said, I came out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins. For in the cup that she hath filled to her, filled double. But did you jump out of the frying pan and get in the fire? Are you now the pot calling the kettle black? Are you still calling on the name that she called on? I told you how that name was established and the mark of the beast would come upon the earth and deceive all and cause all to wonder after the beast. This is a name, a blasphemy that is spoken about in the book of Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. And yet all the world will wonder after the beast who was and is not and yet is. And the eighth is of the seventh. And shall go into perdition. And I just gave you the line of 665. We're at the mark of 665 with the seven popes present. With the name combination that they have chosen, the name values that each of these last 15 popes have chosen, combined together, is 665, right down to the present pope, with his name value attributed to the sum total. So the eighth will come, and that eighth will be the one that sets the world into tribulation. I predict, this is my prediction, ladies and gentlemen, coming soon to a neighborhood near you, I predict a war that will pale all other wars upon the earth, ravaging, death, sewer rats eating bodies in the street. Water shut down. Power disrupted. Nuclear explosions around the world. And the Bible says in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, except God intervenes, they will not be any flesh saved. Matthew 24, and the Bible says he's returning. Remember, after the 8th, the prophecy was that Christ would return in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that had received the mark. Do you have it in your forehead? Are you believing in a false name? That's the mark of the beast, ladies and gentlemen. It's not for a specific time nailed to a wall somewhere that they're going to implant you with some kind of a chip like these false disinformationalists are lost themselves. They never fasted a day in the week, yet they're quote-unquote experts. They've never prayed. They've never searched the scriptures to see if these things be true, and yet they have money to back up, to preach and to scare the living hell out of you, to make you flood into the system of the great whore, which is the corrupt and carries a corrupt name of blasphemy according to Revelation 13. This is the mark of the beast. And if you have that in your forehead, in your mind, if you've been taken by it, you've already got the mark of the beast. You don't have to have a chip or a microchip or some type of a biotech card to carry around your pocket and say, well, I'm afraid I don't want to carry that. I might take the mark of the beast. And yet you'll go down to the whorish denominational system and you'll sit there and call on a false name all day long that can't be proven back 500 years. And you believe that you're going to heaven when you're so easily deceived and misled and don't have the guts and the intestinal fortitude to stand on your feet and proclaim the name of a living God into your mind or accept it into water baptism to be converted and repent, lest you also perish, notwithstanding I have a few things against them because they suffer that woman Jezebel. Well, I go down to the first this, the second this, and the third this. Oh, I'm a Mormon. Oh, I'm this, I'm that. I'm a Baptist. They said the 15 million of us in America. We all can't be wrong, Pastor Buddy. Ha, ha, ha. And they thumb their nose at you. They smite their breast. They cast dust in the air against the truth that you bring to them and preach to them and try to save some. Hating even the garment of flesh spotted by the flesh. Trying to save them and pull them out of the fire. And they persecute you for the truth's sake and hate you for the name that you proclaim. Oh, my God, they have a name that they live by, but they're dead, twice dead, plucked up the roots. Oh, how she's lived deliciously, how she has fared so well upon the earth, how the earth has opened her arms and embraced the name of blasphemy. All the world shall wonder after the beast. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not a future generation. It's your generation. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to get the name of salvation. And if you don't have the name of salvation, you've got the name of blasphemy spiritually embedded into your mind because you believe the lion been down. And there is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is death. 10,000 people should be calling me tonight and saying, as they said to Peter in Acts 2:38, men and brethren, Pastor Buddy, what shall we do? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm offering you the greatest name, the only name that's got salvation. There's none other name, and it's not Jesus. Let me repeat that. It is not Jesus. The King James Bible doesn't even bear the present name of the Catholic Church, the one she calls on. The one she calls on is the identical name that over 600 denominational offsprings of harlots that sprung from her call on, and they're all in one pot together, and they're all in one bed together, committing fornication with the great spiritual whore, which is Satan himself, who has changed the truth of God into a lie, and now they worship a creature's name rather than the name of the Creator that was given. In Exodus 3:14, to a prophet called Moses, who went back and told the people that there was an almighty God oh my heavens above, I feel the anointing of the Shekinah. I feel the dimensional shift of truth that covers my body from head to foot at this very moment as I talk about the most magnanimous, magnificent, powerful, almighty, glorious, wonderful name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. How sweet it is to speak it from my lips in glory. How gracious the Father was to permit me, a man of clay, with lips that are unclean, to take his name into my heart and into my mind and support it with my tithes and offerings and preach it around the world that it's the only name given whereby that you can be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, I have so many people write and say, Pastor Buddy, I can't stand to listen to you. You tear my heart all to pieces. I can't sleep at night. I want to listen to you. I turn the radio on, then I get so mad at you, I turn it off. And then I'm afraid. I turn it back on. I'm so confused. Ladies and gentlemen, confusion is not of the Almighty God. I'm here to clear up the confusion that you've only got one name to call on. And that name is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's according to Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a son is born, and a child is given, and the government, the true government, not the government of a false religious whore that took a false name and converted millions and millions and billions of people, and all the world would wonder after the beast with the power of a false blaspheming name that they sing in the choirs and the churches all over the world and glorified it as the name of Almighty God when God never had the name to start with and never will have. His name has never changed from the foundation of the world. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his name is not Jesus. Can you come up with a better name? Yes, you can if you'll read the Bible. Get you a Hebrew Bible and read 5,823 times alone. There's over 370 places in the New Testament where it's capital letter L-O-R-D. That name should be in there as the name of the Creator. And yet they chose to leave it out. They rejected the name of truth and inserted the name of blasphemy. And the world was deceived and crawled into the bed with the whore and committed fornication against the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, my time is coming down, and I'm just getting ready to preach. Oh, my God, how I could preach and shout. I just wish that I had another hour or two. I could speak on this subject for 10 hours and never even take a drink of water. I would be so filled with joy to have you in my presence as students of the Bible. I hope and trust that you've been blessed with tonight's message. And if you have been, I would ask you to write me a letter. I need your help. We're just lone soldiers out here with a very few. Our supporters are few. The opposition are many. They have power to overwhelm my voice and drown me out and censor me in certain places. I've been turned out of churches. I've been told never to return. You know why? Not for being a man carrying a gun or a vicious, evil man, but a man preaching the Word of God. The Bible says the day will come that they will hate you and kill you, thinking they're doing God a service. Matthew 10:22, read that scripture. It'll tell you exactly. And if you're not hated for the name you serve, you better get in a name that you're hated for. And I've got one to recommend to you. It's a name above all names. It's a name that was given in the Hebrew scriptures, in the Hebrew tongue. Remember, people think that in the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, check it out for yourself, 26 verses 13 and 14, that when Paul was struck down, that he was told that the Savior, that the Savior's name was Jesus. And that's a misnomer. That's not true. You see, that's some more of the induction of the whore church that has changed the Word of God and cast the truth to the ground and prospered by doing so. And deceived millions of souls in the process. Come out, are my people. Remember that the God that struck Paul down didn't speak to him in Greek. He didn't say Jesus or Jesus. He didn't say Jesus. He spoke to him in a Hebrew tongue, and he said, my name is Yahweh. And Paul, who was killing the disciples who were using the name of Yahweh in public, was astonished when he said, astonishingly, what would you have me do? You know what the Hebrew God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob told him? He said, Saul, you go to a place called Straight Street in Damascus, and there you'll find my prophet that will speak to you and baptize you in my name and wash away your sins. Oh, my God. Ladies and gentlemen, why will not people hear the truth, but they will hear a lie all day long and glorify it and support it with tithes and offerings? But if you're a Bible student that wants the truth and will settle for nothing else but the truth, so help you God, then I need your help. Call me at area code. Tonight I'm live. This is the 24th of July. I'm live on WWCR Worldwide, around the world, on talk radio. This is where the rubber meets the road. You'll not hear it any other station in any other place upon the earth. You'll hear it from the mouth of this prophet. Things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world, because Almighty Yahweh has anointed me to preach the gospel to the last day generation and get you ready for what's coming around the bend. When every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. In those days, then many will say, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name, Lord? And then shall the mighty God Yahweh say unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 626-2172. Now, let me repeat that. Area code. Many people say, I talk so fast. Ladies and gentlemen, time is expensive, and I got a lot to say. So you better get on the ball. Open up your ears. Get that ear into the radio. If it don't come in clear, call me, write me, and ask for the tape. The series will be a four-set series on the mark of the beast. You need to get it and find out what the true mark is. It's not a chip implant for a future generation, because every generation has its chance to take the mark or to reject it. You better get your chance now, because you're going to be accountable in the years to come. Whether you've got an implant or not has nothing to do. Whether you carry a Social Security card or not, that is not the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is a deceptive name that has deceived the world into thinking that they're serving the God that they name and call on, have it in their forehead and in their hand, and it's not the true name. This is deception to the greatest degree, and only Satan could hatch up and plot right out of the pits of hell this adulterous, fornicating name that people live by, but they're dead. All right, if you'd like to write me, Pastor Buddy, that's all you need. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip, 37824. Now, if you'd like to send support of this broadcast to Dr. Gary, my financial officer, along with financial advisor, Dr. Jack, both of these have toll-free numbers that I can't afford to carry. They carry these numbers, and they will accept your tithes and offerings for the broadcast of the Shepherd's Call. So you would call Dr. Gary at 1-877-289-7439, or Dr. Jack, 1-888-281-7320. And by the way, when you talk to these great men, they know a lot about the Bible. And they don't care to talk. Both of them are professional businessmen. They don't have much time. But when they do, they'll call you back. Just leave your number. They'll call you back. Don't worry about it. Praise y'all. If you'd like to talk to me tonight, area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Write me at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. This is Pastor Buddy. I've enjoyed being with you in the last 55 minutes. I'll see you next Sunday night on WWCR 5070. Strong voice going around the world with the truth of Yahweh's word.
I'm on the road.